Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't worry, Christian. It's not death. This is Wretched Radio, in perhaps one of the pithiest presentations of an ill-informed worldview. You may recall a number of months ago, Governor Cuomo of New York defended against the people who would say, wait a second, some of these draconian, everybody's favorite new word, these draconian measures, they really harm people. That was at a press conference. Governor Cuomo revealed he clearly does not think deeply.
You said they said the cure is worse than the illness. The illness is death. How can the cure be worse than the illness if the illness is potential death?
Let's count the ways, shall we? Do you know the divorce rate these days? That's right, it has skyrocketed by 34% during the COVID-19 illness. But don't worry.
Wow.
It's not death. After all, that is what the governor said.
What if the economy failing?
Worse than death?
Equals death.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't equal death. Economic hardship. Yes, very bad.
But it's not death.
Emotional stress from being locked in a house.
Bad.
Very bad.
Not death.
Domestic violence on the increase. Very bad.
But it's not death.
Not death.
That should remind us that just because somebody somehow was able to attain a seat of power, it doesn't mean that they think well. That's clearly not a holistic understanding of reality. Of course, death is the worst thing, but that doesn't mean that other things aren't a thing. Other things are a genuine thing. Ask the wife who's getting beat right now because her husband's going nuts from being locked up with her and the kids, or lost his job, or doesn't have as much money, or she busted him for watching porn. As she takes another one, ask her if it's nothing. That was such a pithy response, revealing he has not thought through much. 34% divorce rate increase during the pandemic, with marriages crumbling 3 weeks into quarantine, and newlywed separations doubling to 20%. This is from legal templates indicating that divorce rates soared during the first 4 months of the COVID pandemic. But it's not death. A combination of pandemic stress, including unemployment and quarantine, may have contributed to the uptick. You don't say. 34% increase in sales for divorce agreements. I love the billboards that promote divorce. I remember there was a bit that a comedian did that there was a coupon. He saw a coupon for divorce. Hey, Marge, I know we love each other, but this is a really good deal here.
Get 20% off.
It's a twofer. Let's get the neighbors and we'll head down to the lawyer and get this thing ended. I got to save some money here. Interest in divorce spiked on April 13th, which is approximately 3 weeks after most states implemented lockdown orders. Uh-oh. Southern states in the Bible Belt. I don't know why they had to mention Bible Belt if they weren't trying to make a point in this particular article. This is from, I believe it's the Daily Mail. Yeah. Southern states in the Bible Belt recorded the highest number of divorce rates. We're number one. We're number one. Hey, you got to win at something. Newlyweds married under 5 months were hit the hardest, but those married within 5 years also sought divorces. Yep, the newlyweds probably not very well prepared for marriage. If you do not rigorously put your kiddos through some sort of marriage preparation, you are setting them up for a big fall. But my child grew up in the church. Have you prepared them for marriage? Do they know that marriage is not for themselves? Do they know that marriage is not primarily for their fun? That it is not primarily for intimacy? That it is not primarily for having children? What? Your kids don't know that their marriage is primarily to glorify God. And it is not for their personal satisfaction. They're in big trouble and they're going to have to get some things worked out. Why not help them work through it before they actually get married? Why not help them understand what marriage is supposed to be about? Sanctification. Most kids don't know that. I didn't know that. Okay. Gentlemen, quiz time.
Ready.
Jimmy,
yes.
How many years have you been married? That's a bad start right there, brother. Bad start.
17 this year.
17 years. Mm-hmm. Were you prepared for marriage when you said I do?
Absolutely not.
Are you still prepared for marriage?
Absolutely not.
Thank you. Mike?
10 years this year.
Now, did anybody tell you before you got married that marriage is about sanctification? It is not about finding my personal happiness, but serving another as Christ serves the church?
Not even close.
Not even remotely so.
Matter of fact, we were told, we're surprised y'all made it this long.
Oh, nice. There's an encouraging word from the body. Yeah. I mean, we've thought that. We didn't say it out loud, of course. That would be rude, but we did have those thoughts. Nevertheless, why are we preparing our kids for this? Why are they victims of divorce statistics at a greater rate than other people are? What? That's newlyweds, I mean. I don't buy the statistics that Christians get divorced at the same rate. We don't. It is less. But nevertheless, it's way too high. This is another one of those grievous areas in my estimation that just, oh, come on, church. We can actually help people. And I will go this far. If a couple entering marriage is going, yeah, I don't buy all that stuff about living sacrificially, putting the other person in front of me. I just dig her. And I like kids and, you know, and what we get to do and stuff. Church should say, you are not ready. You're not ready. And we do not care to authorize this. Perhaps find another place to get this done if you insist. But until a couple is prepared to understand you are playing the role of Jesus Christ and the church, and this is not about self, it is about other, then the church has not done its job. Is this popular these days? Apparently about as popular as Indian Matchmakers. Have you seen that show, by the way? It's a Netflix special. Fascinating. It is a series about a matchmaker from Mumbai who travels the globe to get people married. Indian people only, by the way. that never gets really discussed.
Yeah.
They just insist. I only want to marry an Indian. And you know what I say to that? Fine. If that's the way there's no sin necessarily in that. If you're attracted to somebody of your same ethnicity, we don't have to shame that. Now, we don't say that it's a sin to marry somebody outside of your ethnicity, but if somebody wants, they just have that preference, there's nothing wrong with that. And yet, the internet is agog. It's simply agog. The issue that I found most interesting, they didn't talk about the caste system in that show. They talked about their community. Oh, their community. So you have to hear the word. I think it was, I want to say Punjabi. No, that's Punjab. From Punjab. Or is that Punjab. I think it was Punjabi. Sorry if I've got this wrong.
That sounds right.
But I looked at it. It's like the Punjabi caste. Oh, we just cut that part out, that there's a caste system because the Hindu religion demands you've been reincarnated at that level. That's where you stay and you can't progress. So as I'm looking around the internet, noticed that there's a big group of people. They make up about 15% in a particular region in India. They are the Patels. Mostly, if you've met a lot of Indian people, you'll meet a lot of Patels. Why? That's a family name in a particular caste. They're actually rebelling to say, we don't like being stuck in this caste. And the president of India, he wants to make India Hindu again. He wants to make it a very Hindu-informed state run by Hindu values, which is you're born into that caste. That's the caste you stay in. Wow. I'm sorry. You show me a culture and how it's thriving, and I just want to dig down below the surface and ask, what's the religion here? What's the prominent or predominant morality, and what is it informed by? And you will see whether or not a culture and society is good for human beings. And in India, I'm sorry, it is not. And the Hindu system does not help people to flourish. And watching that special, I got to tell you something. It was fascinating to see how Hinduism actually works and what it does for people. They had a matchmaker. They called it a match. They called it a marriage, which was performed, which was orchestrated by a matchmaker or a love marriage. And that would be where the couple finds each other and they date and go through the process that we tend to in the West. They've got it classified. The church can help kids with marriage. And if the church is not involved, we're not helping them out. The pandemic has revealed, we're not preparing our kids. And we must be doing a better job because, while I agree with the governor,
the illness is death.
Divorce, it ain't so pretty. Question. Mom and Dad, are you talking about these things with your teenagers? Church? Youth group? I know you've got a lot of whipped cream to go through because you ordered a lot of it from Costco. Are you talking about these things with the kiddos? If not, we are doing them a big disservice. This is Wretched Radio. This is me biting my tongue, introducing Paul Marty from Tomorrow Clubs.
Communism so wreaked havoc in the countries where we work that they not only need physical rebuilding, but they need spiritual rebuilding as well.
Would love to offer a political commentary, but instead would like to encourage you to support your very own Tomorrow Club. In Eastern Europe, they are still feeling the ravages of communism, and very few missionary organizations seem to find their way to the poorest of the poor nations in Eastern Europe. Tomorrow Clubs does. They teach the gospel to kids every week in kids' clubs. They meet in small, poor villages where they share the gospel. The kids get saved. They bring the gospel home, and moms and dads get saved. Please consider supporting your very own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclub.org/wretched.
Suicide, typically an uncomfortable topic to talk about, but it's one we need to talk more about because it's the third leading cause of death among Gen Zers. This generation has the highest reported levels of clinical anxiety and depression than any other generation at the same age. Today's youth need help, and that's why Wretched has come out with our newest booklet, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide and 13 Reasons Why You Should Live. Find your copies right now at wretched.org/13. This booklet targets the heart of anyone struggling with the issues of depression, anxiety, and suicide. You may not realize it, but you know someone who's dealing with these issues right now. And 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide will provide them with the biblical answers for the struggles that they're facing. Find your copies right now at wretched.org/13. Give these booklets away to someone who need hope. wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
What does $28 buy these days? Well, for starters, it buys an ultrasound. More importantly, it buys a life.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
That is one grateful mommy, and I'm certain it will be one grateful baby who was given life because you provided a free ultrasound through preborn.org/wretched. $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. A mommy who is choosing the termination of her own child will choose life. Will you please consider supporting this very efficient and life-saving ministry that preaches the gospel? Preborn.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. Can a loving God be wrathful? If God loves righteousness, loves people, and wants what is best for his creation, he must hate what runs contrary to his will. God must always respond to sin with wrath, and his wrath must be satisfied. It is either satisfied on the cross, or each person will bear God's wrath eternally in hell. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh yeah.
Forgot this little detail. This is Wretched Radio. Despite Governor Cuomo's ridiculously ill-informed worldview.
The illness is death. What is worse than death?
Well, there's a lot of bad things, and while death is the worst thing, we don't just weigh death as the only thing. This is a conversation we had months ago when Governor Cuomo first made his worldview obvious to everybody, which means he probably hasn't read a book or even scratched his head to think about these things much, that there is more to life than death. There are other issues, like divorce, like spousal abuse, like people losing their businesses. As we stated months ago, those things aren't death, but they're not nothing. And at some point, a society needs to add up all of those things to say, well, which one is worse? But you can only do that if your worldview has a presupposition, which is death is inevitable and the world is a dangerous place. We can explain that. We understand that because of the fall. This world, it is risky. You can get hurt. You can have an accident. You can get an illness at an early age and die. We get that. Now, does that mean we become reckless? No. Does that mean we race into battle saying, well, if the Lord wants me dead today, he's going to shoot me off of my horse? I don't think so. We're not reckless people, but we are people who recognize that there are other issues besides just death as we go about trying to figure out how should our culture react to what is supposedly a pandemic. I kind of forgot to mention this. We've talked about restaurants closing down. No doubt you have. We've talked about people losing their businesses. Mm-hmm. What about the church? Have we even thought about how many churches are going to go belly up? Now, that may not be a bad thing. Can any good thing come out of a pandemic? Yeah, some churches are closed till next year. That's a good thing right there. American churches struggle, 20% facing closure. Of course, it's Barna on the scene. The United Methodist Church, which had a 26% drop in donations and giving, closing down. National Association of Evangelicals conducted a survey from 1,000 churches. Close to 70% of churches saw a decline in collections to varying degrees. That means churches can't pay their bills. That means a lot of churches are going under. Now, contrary to what my algebra teacher told me in 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grades, kind of took me a while to get through that particular class. I can carry a calculator with me wherever I go. There are currently, give or take, we'll make the number 350. It's somewhere between, there's so many churches, we don't know how many churches there are. Between 340,000 and 360,000 Protestant churches in America. Let's make it 350,000, shall we? Times, you've already done this math already, haven't you? 20%, that's 70,000 churches are now going to be nightclubs.
Wow.
Or businesses, or apartments. 70,000 churches. But don't worry, it's not death.
You said they said the cure is worse than the illness. The illness is death. How can the cure be worse than the illness if the illness is potential death?
Because so much of it can add up to so much bad. You put things on a scale, not easy to weigh these issues, and consider at what point do we change the way we're going about doing things. Governor Cuomo revealed he does not think things through. Of course he's terrified of death. He's not a believer in Jesus Christ. So the thought of death, yikes. Remember what Mayor de Blasio said? If all of these draconian restrictions can save just one life, then it was all worth it. Well, we don't think like that in every other realm of society, like driving cars, like getting out of bed in the morning. No, you can die in bed. See, that's the problem. You can just die anywhere. Go ahead and Google weird ways that people die. And you're going to find, like, wait, what? They got a sliver? Okay. I wrote a booklet called Don't Stub Your Toe because a woman stubbed her toe, had developed a blood clot, released, went to her brain, and killed her from a toe stubbing. Sorry, Governor. Death is inevitable. We don't treat it lightly, but it is a defeated enemy, and we do not simply look at death. We look at other issues and other considerations. When you and I are confronted with issues in our culture like this one that's just dominating the conversation, there are really three issues right now that are demanding our attention. We got to stop and just ask, is this person thinking rightly? And the answer to that question regarding Governor Cuomo is no. No, he's not. Not even warm. Christians can bring wisdom to the conversation. There's another subject that is being discussed still in our society as cities continue to burn. You know what I heard over the week? I don't know if you guys saw this. There's a thing that the president can do. I don't want to get all political on you because that would be like showing off. There's an article of a law that went back to when the legislation said that the president could do stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. It goes back to, I think, 1807. And it has been implemented by so many presidents when there is civil unrest that he can override. Now, there's a law that says that the federal government cannot enter into a state or into a municipality with force unless they are invited by the local authorities. It's a checks and balances issue to avoid federalism.
Right.
Nevertheless, this law says, but if people are not living safely because of the local ruling authorities and their decisions, and people are burning down homes, shooting in the streets, then the government can enter in and they can implement force. That apparently is something that the president is considering. My question is, what are we considering? What is there to consider here?
I'm wondering why that hasn't been done yet.
Why has that not happened yet? I'm sorry. It's like I've been asking. Okay, so I'm grateful that we've been hearing a fair amount of tough talk. That's cool. But when are we going to do something about this? When are we actually going to start like seeing people
results
arrested?
Yep.
People being taken off to jail. How's about troops stopping this so that people can do what? Romans 13, live in peace. That is the government's primary job. And by the way, when you hear a talking head, whether it's Fox News, CNN, if you're not a Christian, and you hear a talking head say it is the number one job of government to protect people, where do they get that from? They get it from Romans 13. That is the mandate that says you need to protect people. My question is, what in the world have we been waiting for? For your consideration regarding the issue of racial issues, I thought this was very, very helpful. It was a review from Tim Challies of a book from Helen Pluckrose. There's a name you don't hear, well, frankly, ever. And James Lindsay, How Activist Scholarship Made Everything About Race, Gender, and Identity, and Why This Harms Everybody. It's called Cynical Theories, not Critical Theories. It's called Cynical Theories. Now, here's the punchline. These two aren't believers. And I thought they did a pithy job of really summarizing why it is we're seeing what we are seeing. Black Rose and Lindsay are not Christians. They're classical liberals. In other words, they want freedom of speech. They don't like cancel culture. They want honest debate, freedom of religion, etc., etc. But they are not Christians. Quote, social justice might be best understood as a child that arose from the union of postmodernism and critical theory. That's why you need to understand critical theory. We've all got postmodernism nailed. Critical theory must be understood. It's all about dividing people from the haves and the have-nots, specifically oppressor and oppressed. And you are put into that category, and if you're in that category, you're automatically bad if you are the oppressing group. In other words, if you are white. This is a divisive tactic that is used by Gramscian Marxism to divide so that we'll go to war with one another to tear down our current society so that it can be rebuilt in Karl Marx's image. This movement identifies liberalism as oppression and uses increasingly authoritarian means to reorder society according to its alternative ideologies. That's pretty pithy right there. Pluckrose and Lindsay introduced postmodernism as a rejection of modernism and modernity, philosophy marked by skepticism, no objective knowledge, arising in the academy in the 1960s, gaining strong footholds where? Europe and then on university campuses. Why more and more people are starting to write articles with headlines like, the most dangerous thing that you can do for your child is to send them to university, because this is what they get indoctrinated with a lot. Those people who are in power are able to determine what a given culture sees as objectively true and morally correct, and that this power is manifested and reinforced by discourses or ways of speaking about things. So even the way that we discuss things, it's racially motivated. Behind these two key principles, there are themes: a blurring of boundaries, the power of language, the power to oppress, and cultural relativism. These things are all behind how white people have built culture, and it needs to be torn down. That is what you are seeing in the streets. It is not about skin color, per se. It is about Marxism. And it's high time we start labeling it as such. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, Christians in India are facing horrific levels of violence from Hindu radical extremists. The deadly campaign coincides with an Indian government agenda to turn the country into a Hindu nation. A new report by a human rights group claims that despite a four-month coronavirus lockdown, Christians in India are facing an uptick in religiously motivated persecution. According to Persecution Relief, Christians are facing beatings, arrests, church destruction, and at times death, and these have become regular occurrences. Todd Nettleton of the Voice of the Martyrs recently said that the police are called, and at times a Christian will be arrested and accused of creating communal disharmony and accused of causing problems by just being a Christian. Among those brutally killed was a 27-year-old named Kandi Mudu, who converted from Hinduism to Christianity just 4 years ago. Nettleton said that the first people he led to Christ were his three brothers. That started the pressure in his village. On June 7th, half a dozen radical Hindu men armed with sharp weapons and homemade guns dragged Mudu out of his home, severely beat him, then slit his throat. Over the past 7 years, India has gone from number 31 to number 10 on Open Doors World Watch List of the most dangerous places in the world to be a Christian. In news that comes as no surprise, new research from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University shows that there is a widening gap in the worldviews of American adults as it shapes one's political beliefs and behaviors. According to the American Worldview Inventory 2020, 98% of American adults who choose socialism over capitalism are opposed to a biblical worldview. That's what's not surprising. Conversely, 83% of people who do hold to a biblical worldview prefer capitalism instead of socialism, while 78% are consistently conservative. Additionally, 80% of people who uphold a biblical worldview are fiscally conservative, and 91% support conservative social policies. Furthermore, 89% oppose abortion based on clear biblical teaching, and 83% endorse a limited view of the size and scope of government. On the other hand, only 5% of Americans with a biblical worldview are likely to adopt liberal views on physical, social, and government issues. No surprise there. The CRC analysis also found that those without a biblical worldview are more likely to support liberal fiscal and social policies. Again, no surprises. And regarding the Bible's stance on abortion, 38% of Americans who reject a biblical worldview do not believe the Bible is unambiguous on the subject. Additionally, 26% prefer a more liberal, expansive view of government. Again, no surprises. More updates and more news on the Jerry Falwell Jr. front. Liberty University has launched an independent investigation into the tenure of the recently resigned president, vowing to look into all facets of his presidency. In an announcement released yesterday, Liberty's executive committee stated that they have retained a forensic firm to examine all facets of Liberty University's operations during Jerry Falwell Jr.'s tenure as president, including but not limited to financial, real estate, and legal matters. We continue to pray for Falwell Jr. We continue to pray for Liberty and the Board of Trustees. More Wretched Radio still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means a wrath-removing sacrifice. Jesus bore God's wrath on our behalf. And in return, we receive his righteous standing before God the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You ever read something Christian or hear a Christian sermon, because there isn't any other kind, and you, you get all convicted, but you kind of want to move on so you don't have to deal with it. I'm not suggesting that's what happened to me, but this is Wretched Radio from Tim Chalys. Apparently, he's going back to his Hebrew roots. Tim Chalys of Chalys.
Something in your throat there, bud?
No, I certainly, though, made a COVID mess of my microphone. Lessons in becoming a better listener.
Ah.
Yeah. Lessons in becoming a better listener.
I'm listening.
Get on with it. For those of you who struggle potentially with not talking when somebody else is trying to share some information.
We're trying to listen.
Perhaps this article will be helpful for you because it certainly did convict me. Well, to listen is to love. Ouch. To listen is to love.
So if I talk over you,
I don't love you.
That's not love.
That's what I'm trying to say right now. So start loving me, would ya? Tell me that doesn't help you a little bit to perhaps practice some self-control. You know the correct response. You know the solution to the problem, especially if you're talking to your kids. It doesn't matter what age they are. You know them. By the way, still my favorite commercial these days, I think it's Progressive Insurance. The guy who's teaching the kids to not become their parents. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Hysterical. I don't care how old your kids get. You keep talking to them as if they're 4 years old. And you just want to, you don't need the details, dear. I got the solution. Just let me go. When we do that, we're not loving. At least according to Tim Hebrew Roots Chalys, to listen is to love. And we are confronted with biblical admonitions to not only love our neighbors, but to listen. We can hear people talk, but to actually listen to them. From a book, Tim Chalys doing a review, The Habits of Grace, 6 Lessons in Good Listening. Perhaps this will help you to be motivated to love people by listening more and talking less, which is exactly what we're commanded to do. Listen more and talk less, which is why I got to tell you something. Another article. Let me see. There was an article from Tim Chalys. He was talking about. Here you go. Two Hebrew Roots articles in one from Tim Chalys. Solomon's Fool created a social media platform. If the fool in Solomon in the Proverbs were to create some sort of platform of communication, one that already exists, which one would it be? If you said Twitter, is it Instagram?
Twitter.
No, it's the Twitter machine.
Twitter.
I don't know the difference. I'll be honest with you. It's the Twitter machine. If Solomon's Fool had been tasked with creating a social media platform, could he have done better than Twitter? No, he couldn't. Why? Because it's the Wild West on the Twitter machine, isn't it? Somebody says something, you zip it back. Tell me, seriously, have you ever read something that somebody tweeted and took a day to think it through before responding?
Not normally.
No, you don't. If you took a day, you wouldn't respond. You'd be moving on.
That's on any social media, not just Twitter, Facebook. You hear, see a comment, you're firing right back.
Quick draw McGraw when it comes to responding to people. Now, that's the same thing. We don't listen. We just respond. It is a propensity for all of us, apparently some more than others.
Jimmy.
Good listening requires patience. Then, in other words, listening without really planning what you're going to say. Now, I get this. We don't want to not be thinking about what's going to come next because we want to be wise with our words. But you know that look when you're talking to somebody and you can just tell by the look in their eyes or their mannerisms? Get through, finish this up. Or we just give little signs.
That's what I feel like when I'm talking to you.
Sure, right. Yeah, sure, right. Okay, so, sure, yeah, right, got it. Okay, so, so what here?
Yeah.
That is not loving. Good listening is an act of love. Poor listening rejects. Good listening embraces. Good listening asks perceptive questions. This is something that we could all get better at, and it's not just with conversations with our family and friends and churchmates. How's about with the pagans?
Yeah.
How's about asking questions and listening? This is a takeaway from Stand to Reason, STR.org. Greg Kokel has been harping on this for decades. Be Columbo. Ask good questions, penetrating questions. Just to listen, you will be shocked when you evangelize. If you simply ask people some good questions, how much can be revealed and how much of the animosity will go away? When you just bang into somebody without asking perceptive questions, caring questions, like I'm interested in you questions.
And it's not setting up a question just them up to be torn down.
That is right. No, you want to use it for wisdom's sake, to actually help somebody, not just win another cable news debate. But I'm telling you, I'm so anxious to get back out to the campuses. I think some of them are now opening up in the Atlanta area, or maybe it's next. Maybe it's already happened that there's students out there. I don't know if you can get close to them or not. But when we were going out prior to the COVID shutdown, was asking the young people questions specifically about morality. Where do your morals come from? Where do you get your values? Did you grow up with that? Are your parents still married? Just asking questions because, you know, I'm actually interested and care, as opposed to I'm loaded with an agenda. I'm setting you up to knock you down and give you information. If that sounds like you, if this resonates at all, you might want to apply some of these lessons in becoming a better listener. Good listening asks perceptive, open-ended questions that don't just tee up yes, no answers, but peel the onion to probe beneath the surface. Watching carefully for nonverbal communication. Doesn't interrogate, doesn't pry into details. You don't do that with the agenda. It meekly draws them out and points the speaker to fresh perspectives through careful but genuine leading questions. That is what Mike was talking about. Not with an agenda, but because you actually care. Have you overlooked that in some of your conversations lately? I know I do, especially with unbelievers, because I know where I want to get. We got to get to the law, got to get to the gospel, got to get to repentance and faith. Yep, we want to do that. There's no question about that. I don't think we just want to put a pebble in somebody's shoe. All that does is give somebody a sore foot. We want to keep going, but asking good questions. Kokel is right. Ask interrogating questions because you want to learn. It opens up more opportunities. You'd be shocked at how many doors of evangelism will open if you just ask some questions. Hey, what'd you do yesterday? You say on Monday morning. Slept in till about noon. Oh, okay. So you don't go to church? I mean, just ask. So you don't. Do you do anything like Sunday morning? Do you do church? Do you have a Christian background? Not because it's going to get you there. Oh, it's going to get you there. But how's about just because you're interested? Good listening is ministry. Sometimes people don't need answers as much as they simply need our attentiveness and our willingness to listen until they're done. Sometimes the therapy we offer is little more than a good listen. Is that hard for you to swallow? It is for me, because I know how to fix every problem. Just go ahead, ask me. I will tell you. And that isn't always what's needed. And if you haven't learned that yet with your teenagers and your wife, you're gonna be listening to a lot of those stand-up comedians' jokes about raising teenagers and go, it's not funny. Just talk to them and listen to them.
Yeah, and I want to sound all, you know, cliche or anything, but one thing I've always heard that's been helpful is they don't care about what you know until they know that you care. And that's helpful when talking to other individuals.
Yeah, that's
It is cliche,
that's
Mike.
True,
it is
wow,
cliche.
That's a cliche. That's, wow.
But it's true, though.
You know, I don't know if you got the ministry handbook. On page 17, cliches are addressed. Please go read that. Good listening prepares us to speak well. It allows us to respond with wisdom. While the fool gives an answer before he hears, that would be your Proverbs 18:13. You're a fool if you fire it off. No, I got this. I know the... You're being a fool, and you're not loving. That should convict us. Did me. Good listening reflects our relationship with God. Say what? Our unwillingness or inability to listen to people should warn us about our unwillingness or inability to listen to God. So this is an argument from the lesser to the greater. If you won't listen to people, you're probably not listening to God. Ooh, there's third conviction right there for you. That if you don't listen to people because you're too busy, you know everything, chances are pretty fair you're not getting convicted on Sunday morning preaching. Chances are pretty good you're reading your Bible and you're just, well, you wrap it up and it's like, I'm all good.
Oh, that message was for somebody in here.
And maybe you elbow to your spouse for that message.
Are you listening?
But there could be a correlation between your willingness to be obedient to God because you don't listen to people. It would also suggest you could be in spiritual danger because you won't be listening to church discipline when it comes knocking on your door. Don't know if you need conviction in these areas. I'm not saying I do, but I suspect you do. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us today. You know, we're always appreciative of you for choosing to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. We don't take that for granted. And something else we don't take for granted is when you choose to spend part of the resources that God has provided to you with us here at Wretched by helping us reach the lost all over the world. The more you give, the more we're able to give away. See, Wretched relies on you, the kindness and generosity of God's people. The more you give, the more we're able to give away. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so that means all gifts that you give are tax deductible, and we're also members in good standing with the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. So in other words, we can't waste your money even if we wanted to, which we don't. Our goal is to preach the gospel, equip people to preach the gospel, and strengthen the local church. So would you prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner today? You can do that at wretched.org/donate, or you can text the word wretched to 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And now a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
When I say gospel, you say partner, okay? You ready? Here we go. Gospel? Can't hear you. Let's try it again. Gospel. Hello. Is this mic on? Try it again. Gospel. That's right. My fault. My bad. I'm sorry. This is radio, so I can't actually hear you respond. But here's what I'm trying to say. When you become a gospel partner, you're helping Wretched spread the good news to people all across the world. See, every dollar you give is carefully stewarded away. If you're already a gospel partner, then let me tell you how extremely grateful to you that we are. We can't do what we do without you. And if you're not a gospel partner already, would you prayerfully consider becoming one? To become a gospel partner, just visit wretched.org/donate, or to make it easier, you can text wretched to the number 44321. That's wretched.org/donate, or text wretched to the number 44321.
Important dates in Christian history. 1611. The Authorized or King James translation of the Bible in the English language is published. 54 scholars worked for 4 years on the project. The King James Version became the Bible of choice in the English-speaking world for over 400 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If Proverbs were rightly applied, Twitter would be out of business. This is Wretched Radio. Tim...
You really need to get that checked out.
Challies. So does he. The Tim Challies of Challies.com. Rather satirically, but totally biblically, if Solomon's fool, the individual that is described in the book of Proverbs written by Solomon, If he created a social media platform, what would it be? Answer, Twitter. Is this a railing against Twitter? Yes. Yes, it is. But it's not just that. This is to show us again that the Bible speaks to contemporary issues. The Bible does not leave us hanging with technological advancements. The Bible speaks a lot on Twitter. For instance, you've got yourselves Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Do you restrain your fingertips? Which is the 21st century application of lips? Type, 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 type. Bang, 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 bang,
keyboard
bang.
Keyboard warriors.
Post, post, post. Yep. Yeah, they just, we'd fire it off. And the Proverbs say, slow your roll, magic fingers. Proverbs 13:3, the one who guards his mouth protects his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Now, does that happen every time? No, these are principles that in general, this is what happens. And haven't we seen that? Especially in our current cancel culture. One of the awards guys. He told jokes years ago that were deemed racially offensive.
Chris Rock.
Okay, so they fired him. And then they found another person and discovered, oh, wait, he Twittered something years ago. And, oh, wait a second, that's something that was said. You got to watch your mouth. Because culture does have a tendency to cancel us these days. Proverbs 13:3. The fool's social media would provide the context in which a person could destroy himself through hasty, ill-considered words. And that's what Twitter allows you to do. This is not to suggest that you should get rid of the Twitter machine. It is to suggest, don't be hasty, don't be quick. The Proverbs tell us so. Or you got yourself Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Social media platform known as the Twitter machine emphasizes the quantity of people its users follow rather than the quality. If you're following, so they got lots and lots of followers, you're probably following a pack of fools. You've got Proverbs 26:4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Oh. You've got yourself Proverbs 14:7. Leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. You just get on the Twitter, the YouTube thing. If it's Facebook, too, Facebook tends to be a better platform, but still an awful lot of foolishness.
I still get in trouble on there a lot.
It's because you want to fire it off.
See, I've had to practice writing it out and then reading it, and if it sounds like something that's going to be even more divisive, delete it.
Okay, but when was the last time you wrote it out and said, I'll look at this tomorrow and see what I think. I'm going to send this to a couple of friends to get their advice before I open up my mouth.
I did that recently, within
fine.
The past week.
Okay.
But the problem is he sends it to me.
Yeah, I send it to Jimmy.
And it was about Jimmy. That's the problem.
No, it was
right
about,
there you have it. Exactly.
I will say that's not typical, though. Most people are not doing that.
No,
sure.
It's not. And the Bible presses us to be wise. And if there's an environment that just doesn't foster that, just ask yourself, how am I using it? Is it using me? Am I using it? Make no mistake about it. There is an agenda behind these social media platforms. They would like for you to find everything you need online. That's exactly what Mr. Facebook wants. Your Facebook community, that's all. You don't need church. You don't need political party. You need nothing. You don't need neighbor. You just go online, and we're going to foster that community. And by the way, I'm not sure about this. We're actually checking into this. You know how they are supposedly using algorithms to curb and to control what people are doing,
yeah.
Like how many people are exposed to?
Sure.
We're kind of checking that out to see if that maybe happened to us. I'm not suggesting it has, but I'm thinking it may have.
In our cancel culture, it could be.
Well, that they go through it and they find the type of content and they just slow down the algorithms. They determine how many people see things, not you. You can have a million followers, and if they don't want anybody to see it, it won't.
Yeah.
And that's happening. We think it might have happened to us. More on that story later, because the fool discloses news before he actually has all of the facts. I was just using that as an example. See, I wasn't actually sharing with you that I'm thinking that maybe Facebook is doing that to us. I just wanted to demonstrate how foolish it would be to share with you before I actually knew that for a fact. Now that we have that lesson learned. Proverbs 23:9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. The fool's social media would encourage wise people to spend time responding to foolish people. If you can't help yourself responding to something that's just dopey, sorry. Solomon says you're a fool. I like the sting of that. Sometimes I need the crack of that whip, don't you?
I just got stung from that.
That's good for us. And it's plain spoken. It's not,
you know,
this.
And you do it out of wanting to correct with truth. But the thing is it leads to nothing more than an argument.
And it's people. Not many people respond. Thank you so much, Mike. I never considered that Bible verse in that light. I need to go get Herman Hu available at wretched.org in order to
to
become better at interpreting scripture. Thank you so much, brother.
Never received a response like that.
What church do you go to? I'd love to fellowship with you sometime.
Right.
Uh-huh. The fool's social media would allow its users to witness other people's disputes and arguments so they could join in. Quote, Proverbs 26:17, whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. We don't need to know everybody's fight, everybody's skirmish. I don't need to get involved. I don't need to jump in the middle of it. I'm not going to be the one to resolve so much of this stuff. Why are we working our way through? And by the way, I think we did, five verses? There's probably a dozen more verses from Proverbs that will instruct us on social media engagement. It's because we want to make sure that we are in control of it and not vice versa. This is, again, a reminder of the radical demands of the Christian faith. We are not supposed to sound like everybody else on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, with our YouTube posts. And we do too often. And it's a sign we are just being fools. I don't like that either. The fool's social media would make success with the platform dependent upon responding to others, responding hastily, and responding without the social cues that come through hearing a person's voice or seeing a person's face. How do you get more people to follow you? You post more. You talk more. You engage more. You respond. Now, we've been told this for years. Truth of the matter is, I will go through different posts for the stuff that we post here at Wretched. And I'll scan through and read. I try to get the gist. I try to see what people are thinking. Did they point out, is there a loud voice that says, Friel, you really blew it this time? I want to listen to that stuff. But typically, unless it's something that I think can be really, really helpful, I don't post, and I have been scolded for that. Because you won't grow your social media platform if you don't engage a lot. Well, it can be done sinlessly, but the Proverbs point me more toward the more I talk in a hasty fashion. Well, I got to say something to these people. That person said this. I got to say that. Oh, now I've got this. Now I've got this little brush fire. Oh, I got to revisit that one and blow some oxygen into that little skirmish. That one's almost dying out. Got to get numbers. No, we don't. Numbers mean nothing. They mean nothing. Now, I know when it comes to church growth, they're a sign of what you're. I got that. But they mean nothing on social media platforms. Seriously, would you rather meet one person and invest in their life face to face, or be able to tweet 10,000? It's a good question. The fool's social media would permit no cooling down period between receiving an insult and responding to it. That's your Proverbs 14:29. Just to give you the import of this, Proverbs 16:2, Proverbs 26:11, Proverbs 11:12, Proverbs 27:2, Proverbs 26:14, I'm not done. Proverbs 26:16, Proverbs 26:18 through 19:18:2,
the book of Proverbs
26:20, 12:16, and 12:18. Is our Bible relevant?
A little bit.
Kind of. That's the book of Proverbs. Be careful when you do this, Mom and Dad, but if you have not insisted, lovingly, of course, that the kids bury their noses in a daily dose of Proverbs, you're denying them a fire hose of wisdom. This is the place where kids need to learn and be confronted with it in a very non-self-esteem kind of way. It is intended to knock the smugness out of it, out of us, to remove the pride so that we can listen to what God wants to say. And if your kids aren't studying these and even memorizing some of these, you're probably training up a fool.
There's a reason there's 31 of them.
31 of them, and they are, I couldn't write one of these. They have such sting, and they are so entirely relevant. And isn't that what being an evangelical Christian is all about these days? Until tomorrow, go serve your King.